This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
What a treat.
I'm back with a vengeance.
You really are. How are you?
I am good. I feel like we're all kind of like at that stage of being like, I'm good, I think.
Yeah, like currently feeling good? Question mark.
I'm here. We're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But no, I think I am actually good. I'm an introvert, so I'm kind of weirdly benefiting from the home time. But at the same time, the lack of like freedom obviously is also really hard. So I miss traveling and that kind of stuff. But I like being at home.
You and I have had a similar situation because we both, lockdown happened and we both lived by ourselves.
Yeah. Well, that first lockdown was, I'm not going to lie, it was brutal at times. And now with like the threat of lockdown round two, I'm like getting stressed just even thinking about that again. It's like this winter in the UK is bad enough. Hit us with a lockdown in the middle of it and we're all going to go mad.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's going to be really interesting. But like a lot of people, we've all had to navigate a new normal. And that has involved basically a lot of guests have said the same thing, which is I've had to figure out new coping mechanisms because the ones I had before weren't available to me, like my friends going out, doing this, doing that. So has that been the situation for you? Is that a sneak peek of your feel-good habits? Are they quite new?
Mate, I have done so much soul searching in the past few months, like working through trauma, working through like, you know, old patterns and ways of dealing with things. Like I feel like I have come out the other side of something real.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. It's been very intense. Like when you spend that much time alone, I mean, you have to look in the mirror and be like, okay, well, that's a thing I should deal with. You know, I'm the kind of person who's like, that thing happened to me. Okay, well, you know what? Let me just deal with that later and then never deal with it. So emotions are coming up and it's all for the best, but it's a lot of work. All this self-work is a lot of work.
Is it hard work, but good work or work worth doing?
I mean, it's definitely work worth doing. And I think before everything happened, like you do have those other coping mechanisms to lean on your friends, to lean on this, lean on that. When that's taken away, I really felt like I had an opportunity to really dissect what I was feeling for the first time ever. I felt like I had the space to do that. I don't know if other people feel the same, but I've been doing a lot of journaling and I'm like obsessed with tarot cards. I know half the audience just dropped off, but I love tarot. It's really interesting to like help as like kind of, I don't know, the word is not probe. Why can't I think of any other process? prompt. It's a nice prompt to like pull a card and figure out what that card means and see how it resonates with you. So anyway, I'm just doing a lot of that kind of crap.
Yeah, but it is, and I think it's kind of, it can be quite confronting. And as you say, you always come out the other side feeling like, whew, but I'm glad I did it. But it's exhausting.
Definitely. And then obviously I turned 30 last month, so there's a lot that goes with that as well. So what was the question? Have my coping mechanisms changed? Yeah, they definitely have changed.
I paused because I was about to say welcome to the dirty 30s, but I can't say that.
Yeah.
I'll never be able to welcome you to a decade. Isn't that sad?
It is sad. But I mean, if the future has anything to do with how you look, I am here for it. Like, I told you earlier, I'm going to put my sunglasses on. You're so gorgeous.
You are too much. Say it again. no, I'm really... Do you know what it sounds a little bit like? It's making me think the way that you've processed lockdown, and it hasn't been dissimilar to the experience I've had, is it's a little bit like an ayahuasca trip. Like, it got real.
You know what? I've never heard it compared to that, but you're so right. You're so right. There should have been a lot of crying, some weird laughter, like, et cetera, et cetera. And for real, it's kind of one of those things where you're like, what did I just go through? But at least we're all in the same boat.
Yeah, exactly. And do you feel as well, before we get into your habits, I'm just really interested, did it also make you assess what your normal was before and the things that you're going to leave behind and not return to?
Completely. I think my boundaries have completely shifted and changed. And also just really assessing what I want in life. You know, I feel like everybody's doing that right now. It's like, I've even had things of like, should I live in London? Where should I live? Do I even want to live in this part of London? Do I want to, like, you just go through, I've just been going through all of these moments of like, what was working for me? What wasn't working for me? How am I going to change that? And then actually implementing it. It's true. It's like when you have time to like stop and slow down, you do kind of, you're kind of shocked at how you've been, you know, going through the motions. Like, I can't believe I was doing half the stuff that I was before, just like pushing myself to the limit, you know. And now I have like two things in the day and I'm like, I am exhausted and I don't want to do anything else tomorrow.
Yes. I feel you on that one. It's so funny how your tolerance changes.
Oh, yes. And I don't want to build it back up.
Yeah.
I really don't. I'm like fantasizing about going and living in the countryside and dropping my phone in the lake.
Do it. Seriously. I think that's probably the overriding theme in many of the conversations I've had with friends recently is I just want to be further out.
Oh, yes. Being further out is very, very appealing. And I never thought I'd say that. Never thought I'd say that. So we'll see what the future holds. But yeah, I want a garden. You know, yes. I want grass available to me easily.
Yes.
I bought some fake grass to put on my terrace for Effie. It's not the same.
We'll get you some decent grass. You come out and visit me. I've got loads of grass here and then you can get
What
some.
Kind of grass are we talking about, baby?
We're not talking about that grass. just for the benefit of the people listening who might be my parent, I've never done an ayahuasca trip. I've just read about them.
Me neither.
Right. So let's get into your habits because I bet they're bloody good.
I don't know. I didn't really know what counted as a habit or not, but I'm going to start with the first habit, which I do every day, which is walk my dog in the morning. Is that a habit?
Yes.
That is my favorite time of the day because normally I wake up and I'm like, or something. I have a mood like that. Not every day. I'm making myself seem really fun to be around. But yeah, I wake up and I think, oh, got to do that thing. And then, you know, I see my dog, she's smiling, she's being a weirdo, and just going outside early, like I normally walk her around 7:37, and it's crisp outside, the weather is so nice. Sometimes I listen to music, like calming music, or sometimes just no music at all, listen to the birds, and honestly, it's the best part of my day, it sets me up, and if it has to get cut short, I feel off for the rest of the day. So that's my favorite habit that I'm going to talk about.
It's a brilliant way to start the day as well.
It really is. And you never really, like, I find sometimes I don't really feel like it. I'm like tired or whatever, but As soon as you get out there, that first step out the door, chef's kiss.
And especially at the moment, it is that nice Christmas in the morning. It's like,
yeah,
a good vibe. And it's really nice as well, just to say this about your relationship with Effie, because obviously, like, we've all been on that journey with you on your, what you've shared on social, like the bond that you guys have, like, breaks my heart, like kicks my heart into a million pieces, then mends it back together again. It's just so lovely.
Well, I've only shared about 15% of that journey. Adopting Effie was the hardest challenge I have ever taken on in my life, and I'm not saying that lightly. It's been very difficult. I don't want to cry, but like, I could.
Okay. I'm not going to make you cry.
No, it's just, it is a lot. And I think Effie was a case of severe anxiety and stress. You know, for 4 months, she stayed under my couch. She wouldn't come out. She wouldn't look me in the eye. She wouldn't eat her food if I was even in the same room. Like, it was very, very stressful. Now we're doing a lot better and she's comfortable around me, and, you know, she'll let me pet her and stuff like that. Obviously, it's almost like a normal relationship, but she's still incredibly scared outside. She's terrified of other people. So that journey has been a real one. And, but very rewarding, very rewarding. But that's why I think the morning walk is so nice, because it's like, okay, we got this.
Nice to have a routine together.
It is. She's my little everything. I love her very much. I feel like we do really understand each other. Like, I don't know, people say you get the dog that you need to get or whatever, but I don't know what she's been teaching me, but it's like extreme patience.
Interesting.
So yeah, maybe I needed to learn how to be extremely patient, because, you know, there's no forcing that dog.
Yeah. And you just can't. For the benefit of listeners who might be, because you and I both agree about adopt, don't shop when it comes to buying pets, animals. Just for the benefit, would you mind sharing the organization that you used?
Yes. So I adopted Effie through Wild at Heart Foundation. And I will say that a lot of people adopt dogs and don't have that same experience that I have. Most of the time, it's a couple of months of like work with the dog. I just so happened to pull the lucky straw and get a dog that was very, very anxious. But yeah, I would say just do your research about adopting. It is a commitment, but so rewarding. And the likelihood that it's going to be as treacherous as mine is a lot lower. But yeah, even still, I've loved every minute of it, honestly.
It's lovely. Right. So we started your day. Let's move on to habit number two.
Okay. Habit number two is a cup of tea in the morning when I get back from that walk.
You're
Can
so
that
British
be a habit?
Now. Yeah.
I feel so British. I've got my Yorkshire Gold, obviously.
Oh my God. Okay. So you're proper, like, that's...
I've gone in.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I have. And it's like, okay, do the walk. It's very crisp and nice. Well, even if it's raining, that's sometimes even better, because you get home and you think, cup of tea with my Oatly barista milk.
Yes.
There's nothing better than that first sip. It's like the first bite of the pizza. It's just like, oh yes.
There is nothing a good cup of tea. And although there's tea snobbery, are you a tea snob or are you just not?
I'm not a tea snob. I prefer that combo, but honestly, in the morning, I'll drink pretty much anything, except in America, there's some weirdness going on with how they make tea. And even my mom, she used to like microwave her water. Like, that's how they don't know how to make tea in North America, Emma.
I have made tea before in the States, and it just always tastes very sweet compared to how it is here.
Apparently, it's to do with the water. Yeah. The water isn't as hard or something like that.
I don't know.
Anyway, that's my habit. That's my second habit.
And okay, so I'm quite interested about these sorts of things, because the tea ritual obviously has roots in lots of different cultures. Do you just make a tea and then get on with your day and you're like, or do you actually sit and enjoy it?
No, I get on with my day. By that time, there's no time to waste. So I'm usually doing the dishes and drinking my tea at the same time, because I'm bad. I don't do my dishes at night before bed. That's a bad habit. But it's because I like doing it in the morning so much. That could be another habit. I love to clean my kitchen in the morning. That's what I do. I like, that's my routine. Walk the dog, cup of tea while cleaning the kitchen. I get that Method rhubarb spray out and I'm like, life couldn't be better.
I've got the Method. There's an orange one. It was a limited edition. Oh, yeah. And it's genuinely like, is this a Jo Malone scent every time I go to the kitchen?
I know. I love their products. So yeah, that's what I do. But I mean, I have about 15 cups of tea in the day. So
I'm just a terrible, terrible coffee person. Like, I'm intermittent fasting at the moment. And so I don't eat anything until 12. And I'm looking at the clock now and it's like 41 minutes until I can go and get my coffee.
To be honest, I don't know about intermittent fasting. I want to know about it because I hardly ever make breakfast unless it's the weekend. And I haven't eaten anything today except I've been drinking this juice. But yeah, apparently there are benefits to that. I think I could do it.
Well, the reason I'm doing it again is honestly because of sleep and also energy. And I've been doing it for just coming up for 2 weeks and I've noticed a real spike in my energy in the day. So it's not about weight management or anything, and it's not about watching calories or what you eat during the window when you eat. But it's basically, it's putting your body on a cycle. And breakfast is called breakfast because that's when you break the fast. And so, yeah, if I finish eating at 8 o'clock and I start again at 12, I've had a good, 16 hours of not eating. And the other thing, Esté, is it makes a girl regular.
Does it?
And I like having that in my life.
I want some regularity in that arena as well. So how many hours are you supposed to wait? 16 hours?
Yeah. So if you have the normal intermittent fasting is a 16-hour fast with an 8-hour window where you can eat. And so that works out really neatly as start eating at 12 midday and finish at 8 p.m. And then...
I never eat past like 7.
Then you're probably already sort of partially... maybe even doing it.
That's probably how I keep my physique.
But honestly, I would give it a go, like consciously give it a go, just to have, because for me, I had got out of the habit of doing it. It's something I did when I did my 26 habits thing. And then I, for some reason, a few weeks ago, I thought, oh, I feel a little bit out of kilter. I feel a bit out of whack. So I started doing it again. And honestly, like sleep, digestion, energy levels, noticeably different.
Okay, well, we can talk about that afterwards because I have so many more questions, but I'm sure everybody's dying to know my next habit.
I bet they are. Go on.
Okay, so this is a bit of a dirty little secret.
Love it. I knew it.
I am obsessed with watching Shark Tank.
Oh!
So it's not that dirty, but I will get whatever filthy snack that I can find and watch hours and hours of Shark Tank. I love, so for the British people listening and they haven't seen it, it's like American Dragon's Den kind of. And I am obsessed with investing and the percentage and the equity. And I am like, I feel like I know everything there is to know about business, which I do not, but I love the show.
Okay, so the only thing, I've never actually seen it, and now you're going to make me, I will definitely watch some later. But I know Bethany Frankel did it, did she not?
Yes, she was on a few. I don't know if it was like a whole season, but yeah, she did a few. Do you like her?
I just, from Real Housewives, she seems smart. She seems like she talks my kind of language.
One thing I will say about her is she can really stand her own ground, and there was like...
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
One episode when she wasn't being bullied, but I don't know. I just really admired that she just could stand up for herself in that kind of like sphere. And she's somebody who didn't start out as, you know, somebody who had a lot of money, and she kind of made her money later in life. She said she was like, I can't remember her age, but she's made her money later in life. And she was kind of talking about that. And I thought it was really inspiring, actually. She's been a hustler. So
100%. I've been sending emails to her people for years to try and get her on the podcast. Because when she started on Real Housewives of New York, she had this little cooking company. She was a chef and she would cater events, basically. And then she built it into this incredible empire.
Yeah, it's like Skinny
Girl Margaritas.
Yeah, I don't love skinny, that word skinny, but I think it's cool what she's done.
She trademarked it just before it turned, like, she had not a grace period, but there was a period where it was okay, and then it kind of was
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. It was very, like, of the time.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, speaking of the time, just, like, how much things are changing, and, you know, I feel like all of us are just trying to, like, put our eyeballs on it in a different way now, and I think, like, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm. It is. Okay, so in terms of you love watching Shark Tank.
Yes.
So interestingly, I used to be obsessed with The Biggest Loser.
Oh my God. I used to be obsessed with that.
And I actually spoke to Jillian Michaels yesterday because it was amazing. And I was thinking, God, I watched hours of that show whilst not actually implementing any of the changes they were like shoving in my face. But are you doing anything? Are you just enjoying Shark Tank, or do you think it will, like, has it activated a entrepreneurial germ in you that you think will turn into something?
You are good at this. You are so good at this whole interviewing thing. Damn. You know what? I feel like I'm learning a lot. And I think that's another thing that has been happening in lockdown. It's like, what do I actually want to do? Because people say that I'm like an entrepreneur now kind of thing, which is like, I am, I guess, in a way, like I'm running my own show over here. But I do feel like it's time to maybe consider other options. And, you know, I'm 30 now. So, you know what? Time is ticking. And it's like, what do I want to do? You know, so and another thing that has really sparked in me is how little access I feel like women have in terms of business knowledge. Like, it's hard to find things out. Like, even when you talk about, you know, how to start a company, it's like, I feel like a lot of women maybe have never learned those skills. And it's like such a boys game. You know, when I look at like the team, my accountant, my this, my that, it's like, they're all dudes. And I don't know anything about tax and this and that. It's like, where are these resources? So I feel like in the past few months, I've been really taking it upon myself to find out what all these terms mean. And really, I am learning a lot more about business, which is fun. But also, it's just like a whole new world that I feel like I've never even thought of. Mm. So yeah, to answer your question, I'm learning and being entertained.
I like it. I feel the same as you. I feel like it's one thing to be able to delegate your accounts to somebody, but I want to be able to understand what they're doing.
Completely. I have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. I'm not ashamed to admit that. It's like, first of all, I don't find it interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, when I'm having to fill out these forms, it's just like, I just want it to go away. But I do, there's a book, I forget what it's called. You probably know, but it has like a credit card on the front. Do you know it?
I'll find it and we'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. And it's written by a woman for women, I feel like, to help understand finances and stuff. So that's like something else I need to get into, because I do think it's important to actually understand money, how it works.
Yeah. Agreed. And also, I think when Alison Hogg, who founded Vita Liberata, you know, big beauty entrepreneur, came on the podcast, and I don't want to screw this up, but I think she said that in terms of investment in business, I think 2%, I think it's only 2% goes to women.
I believe that. I absolutely believe that. I think that is also very important. When I think about like investing money, first of all, it's like, how do you even start to have the conversation with a company or something that you want to invest in their company? Like, how do you even start that kind of thing? You know, so no wonder it's 2%, because we're not in the room. We're not having the conversations.
Yeah, it's true.
So, and the knowledge isn't being shared, you know? So I don't know what I want to say about that, but it's something that I've been really interested in. That's not really a habit, but I'm like obsessed with business webinars, and yeah, I'm loving all things business right now.
Okay. I like this. This is a nice seat. This probably wouldn't have happened if it hadn't have been for lockdown. Like,
it definitely,
as you say. Okay. Where are we with Habit 4 then? Are we going to get dirtier?
So is there more? Oh, I don't think we're going to get much dirtier than that. do you want something spicier?
No, no.
It's so boring.
I'm teasing.
Okay. I was going to say something boring, but now I feel like I should think of something else.
Well, can I tell you something that I saw you doing?
Sure.
And it's funny because I feel like we've been on this weird parallel plane, because every now and again, you will put up a video of you doing yoga and you'll hyperlapse it, you'll speed it up. And I'll look at it and I'll think, I just did that one. That's happened about 4 times during lockdown.
You've said that.
I've been like, I've literally just done that yoga with Adrian, the deep stretch. Yeah. And weirdly, without prompting.
I mean, could any of us have got through that lockdown without yoga with Adrian? I couldn't have.
Uh-uh.
You know, I think what she's doing is just incredible. It was always amazing to bring yoga into your home and your space. But I mean, she's been powering through this and creating those videos. And like, I don't know if she's listening, but bravo. Like, I think it's selfless what she's doing, and she's helping a lot of people. Obviously, she's also very successful, but I just think it's great. So yes, we've been doing the same yoga with Adrian.
Mm-hmm.
So one of my habits was actually yoga, but I know I talk about that all the time, but it's just, it doesn't work for everybody. It's not everyone's thing, but I just feel like for me, if I don't keep up with my yoga, which honestly I've been kind of bad the past few weeks, I find everything hard.
Mm.
Yeah. And I was talking to one of my friends the other day about the first time I did a pose called Melting Heart. And it's kind of like child's pose, but your heart is even kind of like more open, like your chest is more open. And just how much I cried that first time I did it, because it physically, yes, I had probably been like collapsing my chest a little bit, and like, you know, my shoulders weren't, you know, not great posture, but actually emotionally as well, when your heart chakra is blocked, here we go with the chakras. But when you have a blockage, you take time to physically like put attention on it. It's just, it's transformative. So I do love yoga. If anyone's listening, yoga with Adrian, super accessible for all levels. Actually, I think it's pretty beginner all the time. I love it. That's a good habit.
How long have you been doing yoga? Like pre-lockdown?
I've been doing yoga since probably not that long, maybe like 3 years. I want to say.
Yeah.
Not long, not very long, but I'm so glad I did. Yoga was my gateway to other explorations towards my higher self. So yoga was really like, it's the gateway drug to finding yourself, I feel like.
The thing as well that lockdown allowed me to do with yoga, because I've always thought that every time I get on the mat, I was always starting almost like from day one. I never felt that I made the progress. Whereas with lockdown and just like, I had no choice but to be consistent, because what else was I doing? I like stupid things like going into Chaturanga or going into plank down to Cobra. Suddenly 4 weeks in, you realize I'm not collapsing. Like, my arms are actually doing this because I've built strength. Yeah. And so actually, I don't know about you, but I've had a really lovely experience with yoga in lockdown, and even where we are now, where I keep doing it and I realize, oh my God, I'm so much stronger than I was before.
Yeah. You know, something really weird with me and yoga is I get to those stages like that, and then something could happen in my life, like something emotional or whatever, and it just, I don't want to go on the mat. You know, I find that yoga is such a, sometimes it's hard for me to do yoga because I am so connected to it. And it's like, do I have the energy to actually confront this on the mat right now? That's why I love when Adrian always says, like, congratulations for coming on the mat, because it's like, you should be congratulating yourself for taking the time for yourself. So to answer your question, no, I'm not actually in a beautiful sweet spot with my yoga. My chaturanga is like all over the shop, but I need to get back on it and get with it again, because it's like, why is it hard to do the things we know are good for us?
It's an indicator, isn't it, sometimes? Like, if something that you really enjoy, if you're not doing it, you have to go, well, what's going on? And it could be that you're just self-sabotaging. Could be that you're not.
It could be so many things, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Laziness most of the time, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, there have been so many evenings where I've thought, right, before I have dinner, I'm going to do yoga. And then I'm like, there's a new episode of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and that's getting quite dramatic. And then I get to bed and I'm like, oh, you're such a ditz, Emma. Like,
I know.
Would have been so good for you. So
sorry, go on.
No, I was going to say, are we concluded, or is there anything else you want to share?
Baths.
Love baths. Ooh, okay.
That's a habit. I definitely have one bath a week. I love them.
Okay.
I love them.
Well, you have to guide me through this experience, because people who love baths tend to have, like, it's at a certain time. They're never particularly impromptu. Like, they are thought out. Mm. Okay, so talk me through your ritual.
So when I decide to have a bath, it's normally at night. I feel like it really chills me out. Chills me out. Very Canadian sounding out there. And I light my stick of incense. I put it in the bathroom with me. I dim the lights. I put on my ambient music. Got my face mask on. Stripped down to nakedness. And I step into that tub. And as soon as you sink down and that water goes up to your shoulders, it's like you actually make a sound. Everything melts away. I always feel better after I have a bath. I've never felt worse.
Okay. And how long do you bathe?
I don't take really long baths, maybe 20 minutes, 15, 20 minutes. And sometimes I'll actually watch Netflix in there if I'm having a lazy bath, but I really try not to. I'll try to bring a book in with my ambient music. If I do that, that is awesome. I really love that.
It's a way of forcing oneself to be still, isn't it?
You're not going anywhere when you're in that tub. So yeah, I really love that time. And normally Effie will like sit behind the bathtub, and if there's like even a drip of water, she's like ready to lick that water at any moment. She loves water from the tub. It's weird. But yeah, so it's normally me and Effie having a bath. It's cute.
I like it. Now, obviously we're going to wrap it up, but I would be so wrong if I didn't ask you if there are any particular face masks or any particular bath oils or milks or anything that you use that you're just like, I'm going to town. I'm going to use the good stuff.
Okay. I love the Oscar Renaissance face mask. Mm-hmm. It's like a nice exfoliating mask, but it's gentle. And I feel like you come out of there with baby soft skin. And then as far as like in the tub, I love to use Epsom salts. I have so many products that I like to use. Tons. I just bought that Olverum. Is that the brand? Like, I think it's Olverum bath oil.
Oh.
You only need like a third of the cap. It's very like fragranced in a really nice way. And that's been really nice. So yeah, normally I'm not a bubble girl, but a little bit of oil in there and my incense going. Honestly, I can't ask for anything greater than that. And then I wake up in the morning, I take the dog for a walk, have that cup of tea, clean the kitchen, boom, ready to do it all over again.
We've come full circle. It's so perfect.
We have.
I knew you wouldn't let me down. Those are great habits.
Oh, good. I know some of your guests have been doing actual nasty, nasty habits. Well, but I'll keep those private.
Yeah. Those can be saved for another time. it is always always just the best to speak to you. So thank you for sharing and for being generous with your habits. Because actually, I really enjoy the reasons behind things. And you've been really generous with yours. So thank you.
Thank you. That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. All of the links to Estate obviously will be in the show notes. But for now, thank you for making your return. See you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Do you ever feel like your brain is on overdrive and your mind is constantly racing? The plans, worries, and to-do lists are never ending. Calm can help your mind take a break from the noise by softening anxiety symptoms in the moment and helping you cope with day-to-day stressors. Calm is the number one app for sleep and meditation, giving you the power to calm your mind and change your life. For listeners of the show, Calm is offering an exclusive offer of 40% off a Calm premium subscription at calm.com/stressless. Go to calm.com/stressless for 40% off unlimited access to Calm's entire library. That's calm.com/stressless.